Yes, Justin, it's time for the wrestling show to take a very cynical look back at representing the WWE and live from the American Airlines Center in Dallas, Texas. It's Friday Night SmackDown, air date March the 8th, 2024. This episode is the Road to WrestleMania. So, let's go in.
One, two, three. Let it really love wrestling. He likes to talk about it. If you like to watch wrestling like he do, come join us on the wrestling show. On the wrestling show.
Welcome to a Low Wrestling Show. I'm your most fickle host, Lip Hazelwood, and this is a very cynical look back at the latest episode of Friday Night Slapdown. But before we dive into the show, just a quick shout out to the non-competitors. They are the glue that holds the billing together. First and foremost, representing the general manager. A lot of people know him as Mr. Mickey James. A lot of people know him as the Mr. NWA, but we all know him as Nick Aldis. Next, getting all the pre-match interviews and all the backstage scoops, it is Caleb Braxton. And then heading towards that ring. We got the officials and a team of referees for tonight. They are Dallas Irvin, Don Engler, Jessica Carr, and Ryan Turan. And of course, letting everybody know who's about to fight and the results of such matches. It's Mike Rome. And least we forget, it's the commentary crew. It's the play-by-play guys, the hosts. And some call them, I call them the narrators of the whole damn show. Well, they are the team of, now they're both extremely sharply dressed. But one, he's a very handsome and very reliable Corey Graves. Next to Corey Graves, I would consider him the best in the business. He is a man with a raspy yet soothing voice. He's got to be a future Hall of Famer. I've got a man crush on him. I'm not afraid to say it. It's Wade Barrett! Now, without any further kudos, it's time to start a little show. And so we start it starts pretty big, actually, the show. We got ourselves four big walloping matches today. Four of them. Four matches. And I guess who's not here today? Well, I guess champions are not present. Damage Control. Pretty much just Damage Control. They've got a segment, but it's pre-recorded regardless. So we start off with a Logan Paul. Your United States champion in the ring there. And he's talked about being golden boy of not just his personal life. Now, Logan Paul, he's a stinking rich. And apparently right now he's a golden boy. He's got the golden touch and there's no doubt about it. Like him or hate him, he's stinking rich. And right now he's talking about he is personally taking credit for the success of the WWE selling out tickets, and he is to be the first to have a logo on the middle of the ring in the WWE ring, and it is a prime logo, and it's going to be showcased at all the upcoming premium live events. So he's all proud of that. And then he brings out his good friend KSI, comes out from the ring. From underneath the ring, like a troll. No, he didn't. He comes in there and he's all skipping around inside the ring there. Oh, I'm KSI. Look at me, I'm KSI. He didn't say anything. But before, you know, they all sit in the ring there, and Randy Orton music hits. Oh, I hear voices in me head. They call to me. They understand. They talk to me. And they're like, oh, where is he coming from? They check the ring out, but they find out that, oh, he's not to come in. But Randy Orton does. He tries to surprise Logan Paul with the RKO, but Logan Paul, he's too fast. He's the United States Champion. He sees that coming, and he pushes off. Whoa, whoa, not today. He sneaks out of the ring like a ref, like a thief in the night. Like a thief in the night. Logan Paul sneaks out of there. But it's KSI, Kasi. He's like, oh, he could have done the same thing, just stopped, dropped, and rolled out of the ring. But he decided not to. He decided to back up. Oh, I'm backing up. Oh, and then he gets turned around, and then he gets RKO'd by Randy Orton. One massive RKO. The very first RKO of the day for Randy Orton. They go to commercial break, and when they return, they start with a big old tag team match to start off the big old show. Now, it is the team of Austin Theory and Grayson Waller, Thunder Down Under. Versus Kevin Owens and Randy Orton, the newly formed team. I'm coining them Team RKO because it's Randy and Kevin Owens. RKO. How convenient. So anyways, this match was about 10 minutes. This was a lot of fun. Refereeing this match is Jessica Carr. Jessica Carr refereeing this match. Now we start off with, now, first of all, we got to notice that tag ropes, they are used and they're not used. It is so like, you know, either they're used all the time or they're not used at all. I think they should just get rid of the tag ropes. Just mark down the ring. Have the ring, just zone out the ring and have the proper tag place where we got to stand. So we don't have to think about the tag ropes anymore. Because right off the bat, Kevin Owens tags out. Or are they just high-fiving? Kevin Owens and Randy Orton just high-fiving. Because Randy Orton he wasn't holding ropes. He didn't even care. But like I say, with that aside, sometimes they do use the ropes, which doesn't make any sense at all. Anyways, now we got to a point here where Randy Orton gets Grayson Waller. He gets him up against the old, corner. And he steps on the corner. He starts pounding him in the face. Now, when you're doing this, when you got someone hung up against the ropes, the referee gives him it's a rope break. Period. Plain and simple, it's rope break. And they don't break whatever they're doing, they get a 5 count. The referee, not even bother. They were there for a good 20 seconds. It's like Randy Orton just punching his face really slowly. 1, 2. Like, he was like, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? You know, but regardless, it happened. It was a lot of fun. It was lots of fun. A lot of back and forth happened. But at the end part here, it's basically Grayson Waller gains arse kicked. And then at the end, he gives, Randy Orton a punch in the face. Randy falls down. Oh, my face! Goes down. Then it's time for a double team. You know, Grayson Waller tags in, Austin Theory. They go for a double team on Randy Orton. But it is Kevin Owens slides back into that ring. He gives good old, Grayson Waller a stunner. Whammo! And then Austin Theory's like, no! No, whoa, 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 whoa! And he goes to attack Kevin Owens. Kevin Owens ducks the attack. And then Grayson Waller, Austin Theory attacks again from the other side. He gets popped up. And then it's, Randy Orton on the other side of that pop-up with one hell of a, the cutter. That's right, the RKO. So Team RKO with a Randy RKO. Anyway, regardless, takes out Austin Theory. But after that big victory, 1, 2, 3, Kevin Owens, Randy Orton wins. Randy with the RKO after a big match before they can celebrate. It is returning to the ring. It's Logan Paul. Like an eagle. Knocks them both in the back of the head. He pulls out a pair of brass knuckles. He's like, that's it. It's go time. He goes to punch, Randy Orton right in the face. He goes to swing. Does Logan Paul really need those brass knuckles? After all, they've been building him up as he's got the man with the bionic knuckles, the titanium screws in his fist, which makes it a lethal weapon without the knuckles. So regardless, he goes to punch Randy Orton. Randy Orton ducks it. He avoids a punch, retrieves the knuckles. so easily off Logan Paul. Logan Paul escapes with his life before he gets punched in its face, but it is Randy Orton almost punching his partner, Kevin Owens, in the face. Mm-hmm. But it's okay. It's all good. It's all good in the hood. And it's all like, hey, let's fist bump. I'll take these brass knucks off, toss them in my pants. Let's knuck it up there, Kevin Owens. So, yeah. Escaping, it is, of course. Now, this team, I like this team. It looks good on paper. It could be a great chemistry here. And it's a team of Austin Theory, Grayson Waller, and Logan Paul. All hyped up on Prime, baby. Now, next up, we go backstage with Kayla Braxton with Bayley, talking about Damage Control and their betrayal of Bayley. Now, Bayley talked about her history of as a person in the WWE, how at first when she was in there, she'd do whatever it takes to become the champion. It's all about Bayley. But when she started Damage Control, she put all her effort onto making Damage Control great. Because without Bayley, there would be no Dakota Kai, there would be no, I'm afraid, Io Sky. Because before that, Dakota Kai, she was drifting away. She was about, she was on her way out, face it. Io Sky, she wasn't doing anything in the main roster. Until Bayley came in there and swooped in and made, Dakota Kai the mouth, the translator of the Damage Control. And Io Sky, greatness. She's the world champion right now. And it's all thanks to Bayley. So Bayley is upset about the whole situation. But here's the thing. Bayley is the old saying goes. The saying goes, I made ya, I can break ya. The thing is true. Anyways, after that we go backstage again. And watching this interview closely was Naomi, returning Naomi. And Naomi has a soft spot in her heart for Bayley in her situation that she's in. She's been there before. She's been part of a group that's turned her backs on her. She's been part of a tag team who misled her, led her away from WWE. And now she's back on her own. But anyways, so she sees the troubles that Bayley's scene is in. She can relate, and it's Bianca Belair is like, no girl, Bayley, you haven't seen, she's a terrible person. She make you bad, you light it. Exactly like that too, She's done it to herself. But you know what, it is Naomi, she doesn't know, she doesn't think so, I don't know. This is tough for Bayley, she feels. She still feels, she's not swayed by, Bianca's harsh words for Bayley. Because we all know, Bayley's so curvaceous. A lot of women are jealous over her, her incredible body shape. That Bayley's a bitch! That's what they think in her brown underneath their breath. They don't say it, though. But I'm assuming so. Anyways, moving on, we go to our next match. It is a one-on-one match. It is Bobby Lashley versus representing the Final Testament. It's Karrion Kross, and with Karrion Kross is Scarlett. Now, that's all there is to it. Right now, it's Bobby Lashley without his private party, without, B-Fab, without Angelo Dawkins or Montez Ford. At least he could have B-Fab out there to have, at least it'd be someone to keep an eye out on, Scarlett. Keep her in check, but nope. So this match here was a lot of fun, period. So it was a lot of fun. About 9 minutes. Refereeing this match is Ryan Tran. Ryan Tran refereeing this match. Now, this one here was a lot of fun. They take the match outside twice. Two times they take the fight outside. The first time, it's about 50 seconds outside the ring before they went to commercial break. So I'm like, wow, that could have been... Like, usually, when a match is destined for a, a count-out disqualification, it's usually a 25 natural seconds before the bell rings. Or it's like 10 seconds. 10 seconds isn't 25 natural seconds, regularly. But it's when you're first on 50 seconds outside the ring. Are you kidding me? But while they're outside there, let's go on. What happened outside the ring? Now, Bobby Lashley, he's got this patented move he does all the time he fights. He takes a fight outside. He gets his opponent on his shoulders where he rams their head into the ring post. Should be a disqualification move. But apparently, You can throw your opponent as a, you can use your opponent as a projectile and launch them into anything. Steel steps, ring post, table, chairs, and it's perfectly legal. But switch it around, you hit your opponent with the steel steps, it's over. It's disqualification for some reason. Does it make sense? No, it does not. But it is what it is. Anyways, so with that said, Bobby Lashley's going for the big old smashing of the head of Karrion Kross, but Scarlett, she pops up there. No, 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 not today. Karrion Kross ends up, she stalls long enough. Karrion Kross gets his wits about himself, gets off the shoulders, knocks Bobby Lashley back in the head with his forearm, and then throws Bobby Lashley right into the steel post himself. Whammo! And thank goodness for the rules, because it's perfectly legal. So then they fight on. Eventually, Karrion Kross now takes Bobby Lashley outside the ring. You know, this one here was about, 22 seconds. No, 27 seconds. It was almost 30 seconds. Let's face it. This would have been clearly another disqualification again. Count out. But this time, Bobby Lashley does what he's supposed to do the first time. He gets Karrion Kross up on his shoulders, fireman's carry, and runs him headfirst into the steel post like a soap. Now the fight carries on inside the ring. Bobby Lashley tries to get the Hurt Lock on to Full Nelson. Doesn't quite get it. Bobby Lashley does get... he gets thrown into a move. It looks like a... what's that? A modified Death Valley Driver. But here's the thing. It ends like this. Bobby Lashley tries to take over, but it's Akam and Rezar coming to the ring. They're attacking Bobby Lashley, which ends in 9 minutes. Ryan Tran calls for the bell, and is over. You know, so. But here's the thing. The Street Profits run to the ring, try to help out. Now, I thought, is this time that the Street Profits look good? So the Angelo Dawkins, Montez Ford run to the ring there. They end up taking out Akam and Rezar. Montez Ford, he does a slingshot tope. He gets caught. Angelo Dawkins, he dives off. He talks them both down. So I'm thinking, okay, that's it. Montez and Angelo knock down Akam Rezar. Taking them out. Is that it? Could that be it? Now is this where the private party, Bobby Lashley's private party, take over and make themselves look good? As we go into the ring there, it's Bobby Lashley and Karrion Kross. And it's Scarlett pops the ring there again. But this time, B-Fab gets in the ring like, not today, girl! And she slaps her in the face. A slap! The first slap in SmackDown heard across the world. B-Fab slapping Scarlett right in the face. And then it's Karrion Kross gets a hold. He gets put into the Full Nelson. The Hurt Lock. But you know what? Here's the thing. Angelo Dawkins and Montez Ford, they didn't put Akam and Rezar away. They come in and help out Karrion Kross. You know? Montez and Angelo coming in to help out again, but they get tossed out of the ring like nothing. They're treated like Joaquin and Cruz del Toro, like nothing. Like, so they get thrown out of the ring there. Inside the ring, it's Karrion Kross. He gets his finishing move. He calls it the Final Prayer. He gets Bobby Lashley. It's a very convoluted move. This Karrion Kross move. He sets you up. He picks you up in this weird convoluted way into a power slam, and from the power slam he flips you around to a modified flatliner. Basically, it's modified flatliner when it comes down to it. So I say this is a very convoluted thing, and it's a big thing that ends in a flatliner. So yeah. After that, yeah. When where exactly was the LWO? Actually, was that... Where exactly was... not the... Well, private party for nothing. Anyways, we move on. Before I say too much. Anyways, we move on to... we go backstage. It's with the... Legado... Del Fantasma. Back there with Dragon Lee. Now, Dragon Lee finally back after a couple of weeks off. You know, from his match with Oba Femi. The new North American Championi. So Dragon Lee's back there. He gets greeted with the, Legado del Fantasma. And it's, first off, it was, Electro Lopez. Then it's Humberto Carrillo, Angel Garza, and Santos Escobar. Now Santos, he's got a lot to say. He's like, Rey and the LWO is dead. They're gone.
and you are nothing.
And Dragon's like so angry, he pushes Santos, and it's Angel Garza. He pushes with such force. He pushes, Dragon Lee right to the ground. It was quite forceful. It was a very intense moment. I'm thinking, wow. And then, Angel Garza with some final words.
I'll see you out there, Chaparito.
It's like, ooh, Chaparito. Must be fighting words. Anyways, we move on. Now, this next match, it is in the women's division. Now, it doesn't say good for one. There's no good, outcome for one opponent here. Because how everything was set up. Now, before the match starts, we got ourselves a big introduction to Tiffany Stratton. Tiffany Stratton, your former NXT Women's Champion. And I think she's Tiffany Stratton. She is super talented. She's got a great look. She's very beautiful, and she knows how to wrestle. And who is Tiffany Stratton going to beat today? Why? Is representing the original club, I think? Or are they even still a thing? I don't even know. It's Mi-Chin! It's Mia Yim, otherwise known as Mi-Chin is on fire. I don't know why I'm saying that all the time. Maybe because I'm an arse. But anyways, this match here was... It could have been match of the night. Because Mi-Chin is a very good wrestler. You know, she gets no respect in the WWE. You know, she gets all the respect of a Dana Brooke in the WWE gave her. Which is zero. And it doesn't make any sense because, Mi-Chin is a good wrestler. So now I thought if this match had a back and forth, Mi-Chin turns things around, starts getting a nice offense going. Then Tiffany Stratton turns things around, gets a big victory. That would have been match of the night. That would have been great. But this match here, it was depressing. Depressing because it was a squash match. This was a squash match, basically a squash. It was all Tiffany Stratton literally squashing, Mi-Chin everywhere and gets roped. First of all, she gets put into the corner and then squashed in the corner, put against the ropes, and then with the big old, when she's leaning against ropes, she gets squashed by with a butt squash. And then she gets stomped on Tiffany Stratton, when she hits you and she, the cave-in style. With a sitting opponent. So you see, it was Mi-Chin sitting down and Tiffany Stratton just stomping on her shoulders. Now, here's the thing. It's Tiffany Stratton. Now, she gets Mi-Chin on her shoulders for... She tries to set up for a finisher. She tries to put it away for fireman's carry Santon. That I can put it. But it is Mi-Chin. She slides off the shoulders and she gives Tiffany Stratton a suplex. One, a suplex. And Mi-Chin was so confident he was going to win, which is ridiculous. Because I think after the suplex, if it were to go on to Mi-Chin wear down wrestling, Tiffany Stratton trying to wear her down for her finishing move, that would have been different. But Mi-Chin, after that one suplex, she thinks, it's over! I'm going to AJ Styles this and Styles clash your ass. Like, really? Really? So Mi-Chin sets up Tiffany Stratton. Put a Styles clash. Tiffany Stratton, the powerful Tiffany Stratton, just stands up with Mi-Chin on her shoulder still, and then with an Alabama slam, just bashes the holy hell, like Bam Bam from Barney Rubble's son, Bebe, like a Bam Bam to anybody, just whammo, slams her down. And that was enough for Tiffany Stratton to put it away. Now, here's the thing. Tiffany Stratton's it's the prettiest moonsault ever. Now, here's the thing. This is what makes Tiffany Stratton great. Now, she goes for the most beautiful moonsault, the prettiest moonsault ever. But the first attempt, something went wrong. Something when she's doing her double springboard, she just wasn't. Something just happened. It wasn't connecting. So then, instead of trying to attempt to go through it, trying to do the moonsault and rescuing whatever moonsault was left out of that, she decided to reset herself, start the move over again. And she did, and that moonsault was beautiful. One of the best moonsaults I've seen her do. Because she took the time to reset, refocus, and do the job properly. And she did, and Tiffany Stratton walks away. The victor, double bicep pose for Tiffany Stratton. Tiffany Stratton. Mm-hmm. One of the greats out there. I think there's a Tiffany Stratton. The ceiling is open for her. I think she can be easily. She's championship material right there. She looks like a champ. She can wrestle like a champ. However, this match could have been better. I think this match could have been. They could have gone at least 7 minutes. 10 minutes. They could have easily pushed 10 with these two. But they didn't give them any respect. Tiffany Stratton with a runaway victory. A runaway victory. Now, with that said, we go backstage with some. Not really backstage, with a vignette. A pre-taped segment with the AJ Styles. With a message. A message to LA Knight. Now, during the Elimination Chamber, it was LA Knight being screwed by AJ Styles. Now, it comes down to this. AJ does not like LA Knight. LA Knight is moving mountains. You know, he's doing some seriously good work in the business right now, you know. Now, here's the thing. AJ Styles, he doesn't think much of him. First of all, he says, you, LA Knight, let me make this very clear. You are an overachiever. You know, you are an overachiever with an under-talented. You are a big mouth and needs to be humbled. And AJ Styles is the phenomenal choice for the job. Like, wow. You know, but I gotta say this. You have to have some sort of delusional inside you. You gotta be an overachiever in life. You gotta believe in yourself, because if you don't believe in yourself, whether you are as talented as you think you are, but you need that belief that you are. Because if you don't believe in you, who does? Who will? And that's what LA Knight. He's got the self-confidence, self-belief in himself to become a champione. Anyways, AJ Styles thinks, no. You're not that talented. And I'm gonna put you in your place. And watching backstage, oh my gosh, it's LA Knight. Whoa. All upset over the hurtful words of AJ Styles. I thought we were friends. We had burgers. Tex-Mex style. No, he didn't say any of that. But he gets that TV set. And I'm thinking this TV set was after warranty. And it was about to be tossed out in the first place. Anyway, but he takes that TV set and he gives it the wrestler's retirement. He takes and he slams the holy shit out of that TV set. And he takes a chair and smashes that TV set like it owed him money. So yeah. So if LA Knight is willing to smash the hell out of a TV set for relaying a message that AJ Styles sent. Oh my goodness. What's going to happen in the match? Regardless, moving on. Now this mass match is a one-on-one match. But like the Tiffany Stratton match, it was had a big build-up for the Legado del Fantasma. You know, shows a nice little promo package of them and with a nice little font with them showing there. Now this match here was, of course, Angel Garza. This is the main event match. Angel Garza of the Legado del Fantasma versus former North American Championne, Dragon Lee. Now, this match here was a good match, you know? Match of the night compared to the other matches. Match of the night. This was the match of the night. Angel Garza, Dragon Lee. This was about 7 minutes. This could have been a 20-minute match. These two are incredible. Angel Garza, one hell of a wrestler. You know, in the independent scene, NXT, he was amazing. Although he's until now, I guess he's not really used that well by the WWE, by the SmackDown wrestler. Anyways, but Dragon Lee, whew, this guy, he's all about the wrestling. So this match could have been, it is match of the night, but it could have been fantastic. That's how good it could have been. So anyways, now with, of course, in this match here, Legado del Fantasma accompanying Angel Garza, it is, of course, Santos Escobar. Electra Lopez, you know, looking absolutely fantastic, you know. Looking like Jennifer sexy. Anyways, and then, of course, it's Humberto Carrillo there. And of course, with Dragon Lee is nobody. So this match, Dragon Lee starts off fast, taking out Angel Garza. Angel Garza doing the best he can to get some time. And what he does, they have a sequence where Angel Garza does a jump over, the leapfrog over Dragon Lee. But when he lands, he's like, oh, no, my knee, referee. And the referee of this match was Dallas Irvin. And the referee last match was Dan Engler. Okay, I didn't mention that. But anyways, Dallas Irvin goes to check on Angel Garza. Angel's like, I tricked you. And he attacks Dragon Lee. Gets the advantage for the time being. However, Dragon Lee turns things back around. Now, here's the thing. This could have been disastrous, but it wasn't Dragon Lee's tenaciousness and strength and power. Dragon Lee gets Angel Garza into a powerbomb position. He picks him up for a powerbomb, but things don't go well for the first try. Doesn't get him up. Angel doesn't get put up. Second try, doesn't really second try. He tries to power him up more. Second try and power him up. Doesn't work. Third time, he just powers up Angel Garza. And with the picture-perfect powerbomb, drops Angel Garza down. It was beautiful. It was quite stunning. Now, eventually, they fight onto the corner. Angel Garza tries to go for the top rope hurricanrana on, none other than Dragon Lee. Dragon Lee knocks him down. Angel Garza flops down, but not on the ground, though. He's perched up, so he's sitting down, holding himself up by the ropes, so in a sit position. This is, I call it the Alberto Cave-in. This is something Dragon Lee likes to do in most of his matches, if not all of them. He gets him a corner and stomps him on the chest. The cave-in and the corner cave-in. They call it a corner cave-in. When I say they, I mean me. Anyways, after that, it is Angel Garza. She slides out of the ring there. Dragon Lee with one massive tope suicida takes out Angel and Humberto. They take the fight back inside the ring there. Angel Garza has one last ditch attempt for offense. He gets Dragon Lee into a power bomb himself. He tries to power bomb Dragon Lee, but Dragon Lee holds on with his legs. And it's almost like the Frankensteiner. He goes through the legs. It's like a Frankensteiner and a sunset flip, modified sunset flip, or modified victory roll, I should say. Don't know why I didn't write that down, but I didn't. He tried and modified. So he turned his powerbomb to a modified victory roll. And that was it. It was 1, 2, 3. It's over. Dragon Lee with his big victory. But however, after the match, it was a moral victory not by Angel Garza, but by, Legado del Fantasma. Giallo went to the ring there after the big victory for Dragon Lee. And they beat up some Dragon Lee themselves. Ends up with one massive triple powerbomb. It's a Santos powerbomb assisted, shield style. The shield powerbomb assisted by Angel and Humberto, taking out Dragon Lee. And guess who wasn't there to help out Dragon Lee? It was, Luftwaffe. Where was Rey Mysterio? Where was Carlito or Joaquin Wilde or Cruz del Toro or even Zelina Vega? Nowhere to be seen. Mm-hmm. So making a statement, making a mark in the SmackDown, it is Santos Escobar and the, Legado del Fantasma. Lucho Lopez and Angel Garza and Humberto Carrillo. And with that, we got ourselves a pre-recorded segment. It's Damage Control. It is the translator, Dakota Kai, your world champion, Io Sky, and your tag team champions, Asuka and Kairi Sane. Now, here's this hilarious part. Dakota Kai says she's the brains. She was the brains. Dakota Kai says she was the brains. She is the brains of Damage Control. I'm thinking, yeah, that's right. Just like you were the brains of you and Raquel Rodriguez back in the days, NXT days. Without Raquel, you wouldn't have been a champion. Anyways, same thing. But it's all about, Io Sky saying this new Damage Control. It's all about, Bayley was never part of the new generation of Damage Control. Because Bailey couldn't speak his Japanese just as well as Dakota, so they needed a better translator, and Dakota fit the bill. That's what I'm thinking. Anyways, moving on, we go backstage, and now, Nick Aldis had, I guess, security with watching Seth Rollins, Cody Rhodes, and the Bloodline, but he finds out that going to Seth Rollins' locker, that the security guards that are set detailed to watch Seth Rollins' locker, they find out that the security was just watching an empty room! How did that happen? Well, I think Seth Rollins ordered some, some food, you know, when catering. And when catering came in with a little tray, he snuck out inside it. Anyways, moving on. We go with the final segment. It is the Bloodline. It's Roman Reigns, Paul Heyman, Solo Sikoa, and Jimmy Uso. Dink, 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 dink-a-dink, dink. Dink-a-dink, 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 dink. We all love Roman Reigns' music. So he comes out there, and before he sucks, but,
what's that? Acknowledge me!
So he says that. Then we got ourselves, That's right, it's The Rock! Comes out there, The Rock, taking his gosh darn time. This match, this segment was about almost half an hour, like well over 20 minutes, 25 minutes. This was a long thing for a build-up for WrestleMania. And The Rock's out there, you know, blobbering on, you know. Talk about, you know, they got a huge thing with stipulations coming up on the WrestleMania. So he talks on, but here, anyways, is Cody Rhodes' music hits. Oh my goodness, it's true. So yeah, I gotta play this.
Wrestling has more than one.
So Cody Rhodes' music hits. Who he's butt hit for? But Cody Rhodes not going in the ring by the entrance area. No, no, no. He's one with the people coming into the crowd. Now with this Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins with him.
In my bowels, and I think I'm gonna blow. There's a bathroom stall, I'm finally here. The toilet's there, I'm about to blow. I ate 5 tacos before the show. Shut the door and I sit down on the throne. Oh, whoa, I was never party trained when I was younger. My father was never there. I did a perfect day, don't have to do lingerie. I told my...
All right. So Seth, Cody Rhodes is in there with Seth freaking Rollins. And Seth Rollins, oh my goodness. What is Seth Rollins wearing? He's like a fashionista in that ring there, you know? I thought this is... If you think this is something fierce, what I'm wearing right now. Podcast listening kit here. I'm wearing my penguin onesie. Anyways, Seth Rollins, it's just, he's bedtime for him. He's wearing like his duvet turned to a Snuggie. It's a Snuggie slash, it's a duvet Snuggie. It's looking absolutely, like, what the heck is Seth Rollins wearing? He's got to stop letting his wife dress him for his promos. He's looking like a prat. Like, what is going on? Like, you know, even though Dwayne The Rock Johnson, he looks like the genie from Aladdin. Presto! It's hilarious. Anyways, looking like Dom Torero, actually.
Hey, it's a family. It's a family thing, eh?
Anyways, yeah, The Rock talks about the family like Dom Torero. It's hilarious.
Hey, it's a family.
Anyway, so comes down to this. Cody Rhodes comes down there. Seth Rollins comes down there. And now Cody Rhodes takes a moment. He wants to appreciate what's going on right now with the big sold-out crowd. You know, and what's that? The Rock. Cody Rhodes is about to answer, you know, what the challenge that The Rock set. It's like, you know, and The Rock said, "Shut your mouth, shut your mouth." Oh, and then The Rock has to start explaining the what just transpired. So he's going through what just happened. It's like, come on now. Top of, hey, I'm Dominic Torero. Top, hey, it's all family. And we talk about family. The crowd's all cranting diarrhea because he's called Diarrhea Dwayne now. Yeah. Not diarrhea, Dwayne, just diarrhea. Anyways, then it's finally Seth Rollins comes up there and calls him Mr. Midlife Crisis. And it's absolutely true. The Rock is suffering some of these things here. Then Rollins accepts the challenge on behalf of himself and Cody Rhodes. And then it's, Roman Reigns talking. And he's talking about, you're going to take advice from this this cross-dresser? You're going to take advice? You're going to let this cross-dresser make decisions for you? Like, well, I mean, nobody says that Becky Lynch dressed him this morning. So yeah, Roman Reigns calling me a cross-dresser. So regardless of that, it's a Rock takes it over the microphone and he starts blabbering on about. It's basically, it says, if you lose, it's over. And The Rock says he discloses exactly who The Rock is in the WWE. So The Rock is this. The Rock says he's a director of the board at TKO. And TKO is the owner. They own the WWE, which makes The Rock the boss out of everybody. And The Rock starts making fun of Cody Rhodes. He starts talking about Cody Rhodes having two siblings. Both of them being 20 years his elder. Saying that Cody Rhodes is actually a mistake. And Cody Rhodes is like, no, no, no. Then Slapgate, slap-o! Slaps The Rock right in the face. Right in the face. So yeah, that it's quite a build-up for WrestleMania, Slapgate. Really good. So yeah. Now, with that said, next week's going to be big. But that does wrap it up for this episode of SmackDown and concludes the wrestling show. Now, if you stuck around to the very end of the show, I hold a very special place in my heart for you. Always remember, stick around for next week. There'll be an all-new episode of the wrestling show. So remember, friend, you matter.